Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everybody, and welcome home. For the past few years, we've always started our programs with this statement, and we mean it, because community is a place that we all should call home, a place that gives us peace, a place that gives us tranquility, and a place that we know is going to be there. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes faith in the Quran, He mentions stability as being a requirement for faith to grow. Asluha thabit wa faruha fis sama', that its roots are firm and its branches grow to the sky. If we don't have stability, if we don't have permanence, if we don't know that something is going to be there for us, then our faith won't be able to grow. This is why when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina and made the migration, the hijrah, with his companions, at that moment, when they arrived at their new permanent home, he said the beautiful phrase, "Afshus salam," spread peace. Why? Because peace can be attained now that we have a place that we can call home. For the past 5 years, Roots has been able to be a part of so many people's lives, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah. And we're so honored to have that be a part of our legacy. But we've been doing it in temporary spaces. We've been doing it in hotel banquet halls, in masjid side rooms, in people's living rooms at home, and in temporary lease spaces where when we were signing the lease, we knew that this was not going to be there forever. But that can change. By the favor of Allah, with our foundational organization, Qalam, we've been able to find this beautiful property here in Carrollton, Texas, that will be the permanent location and facility for the Roots community space, a place where everybody can feel that tranquility and have that growth of faith that Allah Ta'ala tells us about. We need your help to close on this property. We need you to generously donate and contribute whatever you can, adding your name to this list of people that will help build and construct a permanent home for us to build the model community following the example of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina. Help us make this dream a reality. Visit rootsdfw.org/home.
Yafqahu qawli, Rabbi zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma. Welcome back to Heartwork. Very obviously, I'm not Ustad Abdurrahman. He is in Turkey, enjoying and living his best life on his Qalam trip. And Sheikh Abdul, I am also not Sheikh Abdul Nasser Jingda. Just in case you guys cannot tell. He will join us shortly, inshallah. So to not delay things and to make sure that we're able to fully talk about the subjects that we're talking about today and really get all the information that we need, I will be starting off, inshallah, and then when Sheikh Abdul Nasser joins us, then he will continue on. Okay? Cool? I'm sorry, this is not the show that you guys signed up for, but it'll be great, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. So, alhamdulillah, we've been discussing this new topic that Ustaz Abdurrahman have picked for Heartwork. It's actually literally very new. So last week, alhamdulillah, we were able to do the intro into talking about diseases of the heart and why it's so important to purify yourself, why it's so important to purify your heart, why it's so important to learn about different subjects or different things that may cause, you know, what they say, black dots or different specks of black dots onto your heart. And what does that mean when one has a what's called a qalb salim, right? So a sound heart, what does that mean? So Ustaz Abdurrahman, alhamdulillah, he was able to go through that in the last session and really give us a good understanding of these different aspects. I'm a huge review person, and for those of you who are in my Exploring the Quran class, you know that I like to talk about the ayah that came before, and also heart, soul food. I also like to talk about what we talked about the week before, just so that we know how everything plays and how to place every single thing, okay? So with the last week's session, talking about the intro to diseases of the heart and the intro to, you know, us purification of the heart, when we say that we're focused on trying to get our heart to a point of what's called qalb salim, the sound heart, a lot of times how we think of it is just, okay, a checklist, right? If I do 1, 2, 3, good. My heart will be in a good place, right? You don't necessarily think of it as a journey, and it is. It's a lifelong journey. It is something that you work on every single day. That when you wake up in the morning, when you go to sleep at night, it's something that is a part of your daily routine. And with that being said, these different diseases of the heart that we're gonna talk about, there are things that you're gonna face on a daily basis. There are types of diseases that maybe we may even think like, oh, I don't have that. You know, I've never felt that way about someone. I've never talked about someone in that way. But then as you keep exploring it, and you keep thinking about it, and you keep understanding the different ways that it manifests, then you realize that, hey, I do have even a little bit of that. You know, I do, there is a part of me that needs to fix this. There is a part of me that needs to tweak it. There's a part of me that needs to change my mindset, change my perspective, to put my heart into the right direction. And so today, the very first type of disease that we're gonna talk about, that a lot of scholars say, it is the one of the roots of all diseases is hasad. Okay, it's hasad. Hasad is translated as both jealousy and envy. Okay, jealousy and envy. When we talk about hasad, the very first thing that we have to understand is that there are two types. Have you guys ever heard of good jealousy? Yeah, so there's such thing as good jealousy. And then there is what is called bad jealousy. Okay, bad hasad and good hasad. We won't spend time talking about good hasad right now. We'll probably let Sheikh Nasser, you know, take that up, inshallah. But we'll spend a little bit of time talking about bad hasad. But before we can get into a little bit of discussion, it's important for us to define what does this mean. Hasad, bad hasad, is when a person is focused on the blessings of others while wishing that those blessings were taken away from that person and applied to themselves. So for instance, if Johnny, I apologize if anybody's name is Johnny here, if Johnny sees Kevin wearing some nice kicks and he's like, I hope he scuffs his Air Force Ones, that's so disrespectful. We can all admit that that's very disrespectful, okay? You get new forces, you walk very slow, like you're walking on fire, you don't crease them, nobody look at them, nobody smell them, just go away, right? Not only does Johnny want the forces, but he makes dua, or he hopes that Kevin doesn't have those forces. This is what is called bad hasad. It is to wish ill upon someone else of a blessing that God has given them while wanting that blessing for yourself. Okay? When we talk about these, what are some things that people typically are jealous about? This, oh, by the way, I don't ask rhetorical questions because I really do want to know what you guys think. So, plot twist. So what are some things that people are typically jealous about? Tell me. Yes?
Other people's successes.
Define those. Very good. So other people, not very good on that, but very good answer. Okay. So other people's successes, right? Where somebody gets something, an opportunity that you may have wanted, and the question is not, oh, okay, they got in, you know, and you're like, wow, that's awesome. It's why didn't I get that? What makes her or him so great that they got this and I didn't get it? Very good. Yes, you had your hand up. I'm still your teacher. I remember. Tell me.
Cars.
Like cars.
Nice car.
Yeah. When someone has a very nice car, right? Somebody has a very nice car, feel a little jealous about that, especially when they cut you off on the highway, you know, doesn't like pouring salt on the wound, very good. Anybody else?
It's mostly materialistic things.
Mostly materialistic things.
Like it could be anything like cars, it could be like a bigger house, like getting into cars and stuff.
Okay. Do you guys all agree? I'm not trying to put you in the spot. But do you guys all agree that it's mostly materialistic things, Will?
I was thinking relationships can be applicable to this as well, which I don't think would be very materialistic.
Like a spouse?
Yeah, relationships as well, you know, especially in the age of the interwebs where people are spend a lot of time, you know, stalking other people's relationships and things of that nature. I mean, are we being real or not? Yes.
Social status.
Social status, yes. Social status, you know, the position that someone may have in the community, things of that nature. Yes.
A job.
A job. Very good, yeah.
Something could also be iman.
Iman, someone's religiosity.
Yeah.
That's a real one. You know, somebody, that person's very pious, like I pray all the time, why didn't Allah give me this feeling or give that? What do you guys notice about all of these things? What are some things, apart from it being materialistic, what do you notice about all of these things? Comparisons, right? These are big comparisons where we look at the outward of someone's life, even if it's religiosity. we cannot tell how religious someone truly is. That's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Because true connection to Allah, atqakum, or this level of taqwa, piety, or God consciousness, is only something that God can tell. Okay? I can't look at a person and say, I know you're God conscious. I can't do that. Right? I know you're closest to God. I can't do that. So all of these things are things that we look at a person on the surface, and from there we make a judgment. And that judgment is that God has given you something that he should have given me. How does that sound? How does that sound?
Like Iblis.
I'm sorry?
Like Iblis.
Yeah, like Iblis. Very good. He skipped all the way to my next point. It wasn't that all the way. I set it up, you know? I was going to make a basketball joke, but I think it's a little too soon, so I won't do it. But yes, like Iblis. Like Iblis. Where you feel entitled to something that was never yours in the first place. Right? You feel entitled to that car, you feel entitled to that relationship, you feel entitled to that job, that opportunity that was never yours in the first place. So Iblis was the first being to exhibit this level of what's called hasad. He was the first being to exhibit envy. And this is in the creation of Adam alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's so merciful and he's so kind to us that we don't have to. We choose to go through things when we don't got to. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, listen, don't put your hand in the fire. Let me show you a situation of someone who did this act and how they ended up. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala details for us the story of Iblis in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it in many different places. But today we're going to go over to Surah Al-A'raf, the seventh chapter in the Quran, verse number 12. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. We told the angels to bow down to Adam. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. They all bowed down except for Iblis. So we're going to stop here. Sometimes I like to go on tangents because they're fun. A lot of times they're more fun for me than everybody else, but you guys are here, right? Let's do it. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we said to the angels, bow down to Adam. They all bowed down except for Iblis. This statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it makes it seem like Iblis is a what?
Angel.
Is Iblis an angel?
No.
No. Yes, the correct answer is he is not. Iblis is not an angel. He is a jinn. Okay? But when we look more into it and we understand why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala group Iblis with the angels, is because Iblis had a devotion and a dedication to God that was unmatched like the angels, right? Angels, their whole purpose is to do exactly their in their creation and in their being. They do exactly what Allah has told them to do. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are 70,000 angels doing tawaf, then guess what? There are 70,000 angels that are created just to do tawaf. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there's 100,000 angels that are doing sajda, bowing down at his throne, then guess what? There are 100,000 angels that don't do anything else but bow down at his throne. They don't do anything else except for running worship Allah. They don't have the free will to choose what they want to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, this is what you're going to do, and so, thus they do it. Now, they may have had questions here and there, and we know about these different stories, but they still did what God had told them to do. So Iblis, the way we talk about Shaitan, we talk about him like he had never worshipped God a day in his life. When in his beginning of his creation, that's all that he did was worship Allah. And he worshipped God so much so that he became birds of a feather flock together. He became amongst the angels. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to bow down to Adam alayhi salam, he was also talking to Iblis because Iblis was there. He was present. And these were his friends. And these were the people he hung out with. You know? I talk in my Exploring the Quran class, my students tell me I talk about my mom a lot. When my mom, when my mom tells me and my cousins to get in the car, let's go, she says, all my kids get in the car. If my cousin decides they're not going to get in a car because they're not my mom's biological child, my mom would probably smack him in the head. Because you literally eat my food, you sleep in my house, you are on my couch, you watch my TV, like, you hang out with my kids, you're always with me, you are my child, get in the car. Get it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Iblis, as well as the angels, to bow down. And he puts them all together because that's the level of devotion, that's the level of dedication that Iblis had to Allah. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. He wasn't amongst those who would bow down. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned to Iblis and he says, قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَشْجُدُ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. What stopped you from bowing down when I commanded you to do so? This is what God asked Iblis. If we were in a situation and we're standing before Allah and Allah asked us, why did you do this one thing? Why didn't you do this thing that I asked you to do? We'll crumble. You know what I'm saying? We'll be like, listen, God, my bad. Sorry, please. I really didn't mean to. We'll crumble. Because that's the true reverence that you have for Allah. That's the true, care. That's the true consideration that you have for God. But Iblis's response was not that. He says, "Ana khayru minhu. I'm better than him. Khalaqtani min an-nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. You created me from fire, and you created him from clay, from dirt." Now, what's interesting is that when we look at this verse and we're understanding what Iblis is saying here, it was because Iblis felt that his dedication and devotion that he had to Allah meant that he automatically got this status, right? That he automatically deserved this blessing, that he automatically deserved to be treated a certain way. Now, let's think about us. And think about how many times do we have like a perfect day of prayer? You know, we have a good day. We're like, yeah, we did this. I did that. That was me. I got up for Fajr on time. Forget on time, before Fajr. Like, I made a great wudu today. Not good, great wudu today. And then something happens in your day and you're like, Allah, what's going on? I did so much good today. Like, I deserve to have a better day than this. I deserve to have that. Iblis felt that because of his worship and his dedication to God, he deserved to have this status. And when he didn't get that, not only was he upset about it, not only did he go to Allah, not only did he reply to Allah and tell Allah, listen, this little thing you created, I don't know why people are bowing down to it. But he made it his life's mission to derail the Banu Adam, the children of Adam. That he tells Allah, listen, what I want is to sit on the straight path and talk your servants out of worshiping you. And he says that you will find that most of them are ungrateful. You will find, and this is where Iblis started himself in being ungrateful, you will find that most of them are ungrateful. When we talk about hasad and having this level of jealousy, what we're doing is that we're damaging ourselves. And we're damaging ourselves because we're so concentrated on other people's on other people's relationship with God, on other people's blessings, on what other people have going on in their home, that you forgot to worry about what God has given you. You forgot to worry about the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in your life. You forgot to worry about what's going on in your own house. And so the scholars talk about how this is such a reprehensible characteristic because it is something that when you exhibit it, one, it breaks communities. Okay? When you exhibit or you act upon your jealousy, it breaks communities. Why? Why? Why and how? Yes.
Start talking bad about them.
Very good. The first thing is you start talking bad about people. It's a process. It never just jumps to the end, you know? It's a process. You first start talking bad about people. And sometimes you mix a little bit of truth with things that are not true. You know, you start to nitpick at little things about that person, and you go point it out to somebody else, and you want to find more information. So yeah, you start talking bad about people. Then what happens? What'd you say?
Like make a fitna about it.
Very good. Make a fitna. Make it a big issue or a big problem, right? So now it goes from just talking bad about somebody to making that person actually the problem. And then what happens?
You start getting an animosity in your heart with them.
Yes. So, you have this. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I say like, so everything they do is just in like a negative way. So they could do like the most basic things, but because you have an animosity for them, even most basic stuff could be seen in a negative way. So it becomes like a big thing.
Very good. That everything that they do starts to get on your nerves so much that they're just breathing, and you're like, why do they breathe like that? Did you hear the way she was breathing yesterday? Like, I can't stand it.
But it comes to the point where you're breathing
yourself. Yes. And all of a sudden, that new car that somebody got, you're like, oh, they probably, you know, have a really haram job. That's how they got that. You know, you don't want to say it. You're like, I'm not trying to talk bad about her or him, but like, he's definitely not doing halal things to get that car, right? So this is how envy comes into communities, and it breaks communities apart, because from there, as you keep poking and prying into this person's life and talking bad about them and wishing bad on them, then you start to turn other people against them. And it starts to break apart the community. So Sheikh Nasser is here, and I'll let him go ahead and continue on with the... No? Continue on with the question.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Good to see everyone. Sorry about the delay. Sorry for being late. We had a very interesting day, very interesting experience. I was going to ask and I totally forgot. Anyways, no worries. Does Usad usually have a projector set up? No, he doesn't. Okay. Do we have it? It's okay if we don't. We do? Without too much trouble. If somebody can just kind of set it up on that wall. I just have something I'd like to show everybody. It'd be a little bit... So anyways, I'll get to that. It's interesting. I'm going to talk kind of back and forth. Try to stay with me, inshallah. All right? So, we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma yesterday. Yeah, I know. Why? But, because Mufti Kamani, Sheikh Mikael, and myself, we went to Tulsa, Oklahoma yesterday, and thereby doubled the Muslim population there. And, they were so nice to us, and this is what I'm doing. But so we went there yesterday, and then we were supposed to come back home today, and we had a flight at noon, and then we got to the airport on time, and then they said, oh, flight's delayed. And we said, okay, no problem. About an hour later, they put us on the plane, and then we got on the plane, and we had a really hectic day, you know, so we all kind of knocked out. We woke up 2 hours later, the plane's still sitting there. Plane is turned off. Everybody else on the plane too, but we probably would have made moves by then. But, you know, we just woke up, and then Mufti Kamani was sitting next to me. And I woke up, and then he woke up, and I was like, why are we still here? And he said, I don't know. And then we asked the person sitting next to us, and they said, I don't know, there's some kind of issue with the plane, and they don't know when it's going to take off. And then there was some report of some kind of storm in the area, so they're going to fly north and then go west and then come down south and then come east and then come up north. So it's going to be a three-hour flight from Tulsa to Dallas, which is supposed to be a 45-minute flight. So I said, no, I'm not doing that. Because I'll feel stupid for doing that. Like, I will never forgive myself that I was on a three-hour flight from Tulsa to Dallas. So I said, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. He said, then what do you want to do? So I took out my phone and pulled up a rental car right away, one-way rental. And I said, it'll take less time to just drive home right now. Just walk off the plane and drive home. He's like, you want to do that? I said, let's do that. And we walked off the plane. And then I remembered Sheikh Mikhail was sitting five rows behind us. So then I went back into the plane, and then I woke him up. And then I was like, come on. And he's like, what? I was like, get your bag and get off the plane. He's like, okay. So then, alhamdulillah, and we drove home, and we just literally drove up out here right now. And they just dropped me off, and then they took off. So alhamdulillah, that's why I'm late. That's why I'm a little bit late. Now, I should do this towards the end of the session. So, as to why we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma yesterday, I will tell you about that later. All right? That is what we call in the business a tease. All right, so we'll come back to that later, inshallah. So you'll have to stay till the end of my boring lecture to know why we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma yesterday. Suffice it to say, it's very, very exciting. Okay, Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Talking about the subject of envy, jealousy. Arabic has a very succinct, beautiful word for it that folks are a lot of times familiar with. It occurs in the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses this word in numerous authentic narrations. It's borrowed into other languages as well, like Persian and Urdu, Farsi, and you know, other languages as well. And the word is hasad. Hasad. And what exactly is hasad? So there's a lot of discussion about the etymology of the word. In its very essence, it does mean to be jealous. But there are some discussions about the fact that it refers to fire. And you heard from Ustadh Fatima, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that hasad eats away the goodness in your life, the way that fire eats wood, the way fire consumes wood. That's how hasad consumes all that which is good in your life. Al-hasanat, your good deeds. There's nothing better that you have. And it'll just consume it. It'll finish it. What is hasad? There's some very profound statements that I came across that really struck me. Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, he is a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was a scribe of divine revelation. What does that mean? What that means is when the Prophet ﷺ would receive the revelation of the Qur'an, he had a group of people that were on call all the time, whom he would call upon, and they would show up, and then he would say to them that just right now, God sent me the following verses, and he would recite them, and it was their job to write it down. He was one of those people that was given that responsibility, right? So he says, كل الناس أقدر على رضاه إلا حاسد نعمة. He says that every single human being, all the people in the world, أقدر على رضاه. I am capable of satisfying them. Show me someone, show me anyone, and I can figure out how to make peace with that person. I can figure out how to satisfy that person. Whatever their issue is, whatever their complaint is, whatever their qualm is, whatever their problem is, whatever their beef is, their axe to grind is, I can figure things out with that person. Because Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was known for his brilliance. He was a brilliant manager of people. He could develop a consensus in the most contentious room. Just leave him there, come back 45 minutes later, he's got everyone on the same page. He was a master of managing people. So he says, show me anybody, I can manage him. Illa hasidu ni'matin. Except for someone who is jealous of a blessing that someone else has. I cannot satisfy that person. I cannot manage that person. I cannot appease that person. I cannot placate that human. I can't. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُرْضِيهِ إِلَّا زَوَالُهَا. Because the only thing that will ever satisfy that guy, that person, is the removal of the blessing that someone else has. The removal of someone else's blessing. And I can't do that. I don't control that. And then he said, وَلِذَلِكَ قِيلَ. And then it said, وَلِذَلِكَ قِيلَ. That's why it has been said. There's a couplet of poetry in Arabic. كُلُّ الْعَدَاوَاتِ تُرْجَى إِمَاتَتُهَا إِلَّا عَدَاوَةُ مَنْ عَدَاكَ مِنْ حَسَدِي. That all animosities, all enmities, all problems that people have with each other, all the grudges that people hold against one another, can all be resolved. Every single grudge that you have ever known can absolutely be settled. Absolutely. Illa adawatu man adaka min hasadi. Except for the person who hates you, who has a problem with you because of jealousy. You can't settle that score. You can't solve that problem. You can't settle that grudge. You can't. This, you know, the people, you know, people used to say, like, you know, wise people in the early generations of Muslims, they would say, Al-hasadu jurhun la yibra. That jealousy is a wound that will never close. Like an open wound. Imagine, everyone's suffered a cut or an injury, or you scraped your skin, right? Your elbow, your knee. Think about it. And how it closes up, it scabs and it heals. Imagine if it just stayed bloody and open. Think about how problematic that would be. Jealousy is a kind of a wound in your soul that just stays open. It doesn't close. It doesn't heal. So that's what jealousy is. That's exactly what it is. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, jealousy is, before I go there, jealousy is such a dangerous, terrible thing that Allah, in one of the most commonly recited, oft recited sections, surahs, chapters of the Quran, that, you know, it's one of the chapters of the Quran that people learn very early on. In that chapter, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. That, O God, O Allah, I take refuge with you. I ask for your protection from a jealous person when they become jealous. When they direct their jealousy and their envy and their hatred towards anybody. I ask you to protect me from that person and from that thing. So it's a very, very serious issue. Now, let's talk a little bit about what makes it so dangerous. Right? We've talked a little bit about that. Number one, envy is the opposite of brotherhood and sisterhood. It's juxtaposed to being one family, a community. It's the opposite. Right? Because the Prophet ﷺ, in numerous narrations in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ says, لا تقاطعوا ولا تدابروا ولا تباغضوا ولا تحاسدوا. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُونُوا إِخْوَانًا كَمَا أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ. The Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, do not sever relations with one another. Because that's the opposite of being a community, right? Don't cut each other off. Don't ostracize one another. Makes sense. وَلَا تَدَبَرُوا. Don't turn your back on each other, especially in a time of need. Obviously. Because that's not what brothers and sisters do for each other. وَلَا تَبَغَضُوا. Don't hate on each other. Why not? Because that's a family supposed to be loving. All of this makes sense. But then he says, don't be jealous of each other. Because families are supposed to celebrate each other's successes. They're supposed to congratulate and be happy for each other at the arrival of blessings. Not be spiteful and angry and hateful and jealous of each other. لا تحسدوا. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ أَخْوَانًا. Be servants of God, united as brothers and sisters. وَكُونُوا إِخْوَانًا كَمَا أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ. Be brothers and sisters as God commanded you to be. Another reason why jealousy and envy is so destructive. Why is the Prophet ﷺ speaking about it so severely? Like Ustadha Fatima shared, that it will just devour all the goodness in your life. Right? Why? Because envy actually contributes. You know, broken relationships, whether it be friends, we grew up together, now we don't talk. Why? Right? There's a giant question right there. Why? Families that don't get along anymore. Why? That jealousy a lot of times contributes to chipping away at that relationship until it crumbles. It's like chipping away under your feet and then the floor just kind of falls out. The Prophet ﷺ again, لا تحسدوا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا ولا يحل لمسلم أن يهجر أخاه فوق ثلاث. Never ever just ostracize and cut somebody off where you deliberately will not even acknowledge the person's existence. You can't even answer their salam for more than 3 days. Don't do that. And not only that, but the best of people are the people, the Prophet ﷺ teaches us that the best of people are the people who are willing to work on themselves. Mufti Kamani and Sheikh Mikael and I, we were just talking about this in the car, that there's a very valuable, there's a very precious, sacred, dare I say, sacred idea in Islamic spirituality, in Islamic personal development, that is talked about in our tradition. And that idea is ittahimu anfusakum. Blame yourself. Now, of course, there's reason there. You have to do that within reason. But just understand what that means. That means the willingness, just the willingness to ask yourself if maybe you could be wrong about something. Maybe. Right? And this is at the core of this issue right here. That when I am feeling negative towards someone, I am feeling these sentiments and these feelings of jealousy and hatred towards someone, envy of someone. What's wrong with me? Maybe they shouldn't flaunt it in my face. No. What's wrong with me? That my immediate response to seeing a blessing of God is to hate on it. What's wrong with me? Just the willingness to ask that question. That's the first step right there. Why do I become so enraged? Why am I so upset at somebody else having a blessing? MashaAllah. I can't say the name of God. I can't say the name of Allah. That's all I had to do, really. So, the Prophet ﷺ says that the best of people, who are the best of people? So the Prophet ﷺ, in a hadith of Sunan Ibn Majah, it was said to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he was asked, أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَفْضَلٌ. Which of the people are the best? Who is the most virtuous of people? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Kullu mahmumil qalbi saduqil lisani." So he used two phrases. The best of people is the one who is mahmum al-qalb. Qalb means heart. And so someone whose heart is mahmum, he used a word. Okay? Saduq al-lisan. Truthful in tongue. Truthful in speech. Okay? So I haven't translated yet. Hold that thought. Qalu saduq al-lisan na'rifuhu. The companion said, O Messenger of God, we understand who saduq al-lisan is, truthful in speech. Somebody who speaks the truth. We get that. That's understood. We got that. فَمَا مَخْمُومُ الْقَلْبِ. What does it mean that someone's heart is مَخْمُوم? Because it's a very like complex word. It's a very deep word. It's like an archaic, ancient word in Arabic. Because the Prophet ﷺ was a very eloquent person. Right? He had the most expanded vocabulary. So he used one of those kind of words, like we call them SAT words. Right? مَخْمُومُ الْقَلْبِ. So they say, Ya Rasul, what's a مَخْمُومُ الْقَلْبِ? Right? The Prophet ﷺ said, هُوَ التَّقِيُّ النَّقِيُّ. هُوَ التَّقِيُّ النَّقِيُّ. He is someone, she is someone who is conscious of God. They think about Allah. They think about it. Would this please my Lord? Or would this displease my Lord? Somebody walks in, they look nice. Turning around to somebody and hating on them. Oh, look who showed up. Right? Hating on them as opposed to saying, Assalamu alaikum, mashallah, good to see you. You look nice. Versus that. Like that, at that moment, in that split second, the willingness to kind of think about what would please my Lord, what would displease my Lord. And the answer is pretty obvious, right? An-naqiyyu. Someone who actually works on, concerns themselves, worries about cleansing their heart. Cleaning their heart, cleansing their heart. Then, he says, La ithma fihi. This is the kind of person that has worked on themselves to the point where they do not habitually sin. That doesn't mean they're perfect. That doesn't mean that they don't make mistakes. No, like habitually, like, oh, it's time. Hey, it's time to rob the bank. It's like, what? Right? So, like that. And again, I understand to an extent that's easier said than done, but still, it's something to think about. Right? وَلَا بَغْيَ. Nor is this someone who is rebellious in nature. They just gotta cause trouble everywhere they go. You know that kind of person, the moment they walk into a room, you're like about 60 seconds from an argument breaking out? You know? Anybody know somebody like that?
My dad.
That's terrible. I looked over because I wanted to make sure it wasn't my kids who said that. I was going to say, look, it's important to be, you know, we're going to talk about this, but it's important to be kind of aware of yourself. I have been prone to doing that. Right? But it's something you got to know and something you got to work on. Right? وَلَا غِلَّ. To not be deceitful. This person's not manipulative. They're not deceitful. But that takes work. وَلَا حَسَدَ. And this person has worked on themselves to the point where their immediate reaction, their automatic, you know, response to seeing someone be blessed is to not be jealous anymore, but to congratulate. Alright? And not only that's individually, but collectively. Right? Because a lot of times we talk about, right, the state of the ummah, the condition of the Muslims, the state of the Muslim community. The Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, actually talked about the fact in Sahih Bukhari that an obstacle to the success of the Muslim community, the ummah, is jealousy. Us, ourselves, amongst ourselves, hating on each other, being jealous of each other so much that we become frail and we become weak to the point where the wind blows and knocks us right over. كبيت العنكبوت. إن أوهن البيوت لبيت العنكبوت. As God says in the Quran, that the most frivolous of homes is the web of a spider. It's one hand and it's done. right? So the Prophet ﷺ, in a beautiful narration found in Bukhari, Uqbat ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the Prophet ﷺ one day came out from his home and he said, let's go to Uhud, where there was a battle that took place. Those who were attending the Heartwork series from Life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, you remember the Battle of Uhud. So he went there and he made dua, he prayed for God's mercy upon those who had fallen in the Battle of Uhud, the martyrs, the shuhada. Then the Prophet ﷺ came back to the mosque. He came back to the masjid. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, Inni faratukum wa ana shaheedun alaykum. The Prophet, peace be upon him, ﷺ said that I am, you know, your leader, and I am also the one who's responsible for you, and I am also a witness upon you. And he said, Inni wallahi la anduru ila hawdi al-an. He says, right now God is allowing me to see the fountain of Kawthar in paradise in the afterlife. I'm looking at it right now. Miraculously. I'm looking into the afterlife. وَإِنِّي قَدْ أُعْطِيتُ خَزَائِنَ مَفَاتِحِ الْأَرْضِ. And God has granted me the keys to all the treasures of the earth. وَإِنِّي وَاللَّهِ مَا أَخَافُ بَعْدِي أَن تُشْرِكُوا. He said, what keeps me up at night, what worries me about leaving y'all behind, is not the fact that you'll go back to worshipping idols. I don't think that's ever going to happen. وَإِنِّي أَخَافُ أَن تَنَافَسُوا فِيهَا. What I am afraid is that you will vie with one another, you will compete with one another, you will hate on each other, you will be jealous of one another in terms of material things of this world, to the point where you will ruin yourselves. And you will become a weak nation, a weak, frivolous group of people, because you're too busy hating on each other. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also talks about the fact that al-haliqa, that jealousy is something, لا أقول تحلق الشعر ولكن تحلق الدين. The Prophet ﷺ said that jealousy is something that shaves, like it just wipes out. And he used a word that's used for a razor. And he said, I'm not saying that it shaves hair, but it's like a lawnmower, it's like a razor, it's like a blade that will cut off your deen, your religion. Jealousy will actually ruin your faith, because it will eat away at your faith. And that brings me to where I wanted to conclude the discussion, and that is, what are the causes of jealousy? Let's talk a little bit analytically, because now hopefully we've understood the severity, the seriousness of it. So let's kind of get into the analysis a little bit. What causes this? We said that it'll literally wipe out your faith. Why? Because the cause, the primary cause of being jealous of somebody who's been blessed, is because you are displeased with God's decree, with God's distribution. It is you saying, whether I want to admit it or not, it is me saying, God didn't really know what he was doing here. God got this one wrong. Naqli kufr, kufr nabashat, right? The poet says that quoting kufr is not committing kufr. But do you understand how shocking that even sounds for me to verbalize that? Yeah, I'm not so sure God got this one right. And that's hair raising. But that's jealousy. It's someone so desperately, because sometimes it's not even the person who had the blessing, right? But it's the other person looking at the person with the blessing. Right? Like my hair versus his hair versus his hair. Right? You understand? So it's not even the blessing. It's the other guy looking at the blessing. Right? Like, man, he's looking at him. He's not looking at me. Right? This is It's my kid's worst nightmare. All right. So, but it's sometimes it's just the attention of somebody else. And think of saying that out loud. What do I sound like? I sound like an extremely vain, superficial person, don't I? But because we never actually acknowledge what is feeding that hatred and that jealousy. Oh, but they're not looking at me. What? Think about how silly you sound to yourself. How badly you want to slap yourself. Right? And then that's what you have to acknowledge. That's the cause of jealousy. And thirdly, it's a low sense of self and a lack of gratitude. It's you actually lacking self-esteem, so it has nothing to do with him or nothing to do with the other person looking at him. It actually has everything to do with you. So how about I direct all this energy towards improving and working on myself? Improving my own opinion of myself. Being grateful for the blessings that I enjoy. He's got a nice car. Okay. And you have a lot of friends. That didn't occur to you at any point? Or she was able to do that. Well, yeah, but you have this blessing in your life. That never occurred to you. Now, what are some of the symptoms of the fact that you might be suffering from jealousy? Because a lot of times it's hard, right? It's hard to kind of know that about yourself. So, if you always find yourself literally, physically looking at other people, or always just occupied with thoughts of other people, you find yourself always bringing the conversation to other people, that right there is the greatest indicator. Number two, you can never physically be present and tolerate someone saying a nice thing about somebody else. Mm-mm. Not in my house. Really? What's the issue? What's the problem? Number three is that the moment someone, anyone comes in, walks in, is talking, or somebody brings up something, your default mode is to always compare yourself to them. You're always creating a comparison. And number four is that when something good happens to someone, some good news is announced, some good news is given, you either shut down, like normally, like me, you're the loudest person in the room. Right? I don't even need the microphone. I'm just as loud all the time. This is me all the time. This is how I talk. All the time. Right, Osala Atifa? All the time. Even I text in all caps, right? Correct. So, all the time. But then all of a sudden, right, someone's kind of like, oh, you know, Safi, something, something. Right? And then all of a sudden I'm just like, for an hour, I'm just nothing. Fine, that's my choice. I can be quiet if I want to. Somebody can be like, what's the problem? I'm just decided to be quiet, huh? Okay? But I need to think about that. What just shut me down like that? What just shut me down, right? What, did I all of a sudden become extremely fatigued in a split second? Right? No. Think to yourself. Right? Ask yourself, what's your deal? What's your problem? Or feeling sad. Like every time something good happens to somebody, then you have a 24-hour mourning period. I just don't feel good. Really? Because like literally like 18 minutes ago, you were doing backflips. And now you're asking if anyone has Tylenol, I need to go to sleep. What happened? And again, can somebody be sick? Sure. Absolutely. But this is self-reflective. This is not about nobody else. Never ever use these things to measure other people. You don't know what's going on with them. You don't know. This is about checking yourself. And then now, what are some of the cures? What are some things we can do to actually remedy this issue, right? We talked about the causes. We talked about the symptoms. Let's say I'm sitting here going through this list, and at the end of it, I'm like, man, I gotta fix this. So how do I actually going about in fixing it? So number one, being mindful of yourself. Like developing some self-awareness. Being able to catch yourself. That's why I was talking about those questions, right? Looking in the mirror, thinking about how you're behaving and acting. Being able to catch yourself in those moments and be aware of how you're behaving, how you're acting, how you're reacting. Number two, reflect on Allah's wisdom in bestowing His blessings. Reflect on that. That fundamental question. Are you saying that you disagree with what God decided? Right? No, even the simplest Muslim is not going to say, yeah, that's what I'm doing. No, you're not. So then think about what the implication of what you're saying is. These kinds of internal conversations are very important. This is literally called muraqabah. This is muhasabah. This is tadabbur and tafakkur. Number three. This is very, very real. And that is, you need to understand and realize that all this jealousy and all this envy and all this hatred and all this negative energy, you are only harming yourself. You're only harming yourself. Because if I sit there and look at this person with all this negative energy, his hair is not going to fall off his head. It's not. But all I'm doing is actually making myself more miserable. I spent the next 2 hours, when I could have enjoyed the company of all these wonderful brothers, I just sat there being miserable the whole time. It's destroying you from within. And it's not bringing about any kind of change in your life. Number four, the way to start working on it on a very practical level is you have to stand directly in opposition of your jealousy, your envy, your negative energy. You have to tell yourself to stop. Because this is such an internal thing. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, in his powerful prophetic eloquence, the Prophet ﷺ used the example of fire, flames. He, exactly for this reason, that a lot of times, if a fire starts somewhere inside, if you're outside, if a fire starts inside of a home or a building, and you're outside, by the time you find out, it's too late. By the time the fire reveals itself, it has spread and gone deep enough to where it's too late now. You're done. So this is like a fire burning inside of you, eating away all your goodness. Nobody else is going to be able to stop this for you. No one else is going to be able to help you with this. You have to stop it yourself. This is all on you. This is all on me. And a very practical point of solving this problem of jealousy and envy and hasad is do something that will actually benefit the person that you are directing that negative energy towards. Acknowledge their blessing. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ told us that when you see something that impresses you, what do you say? MashaAllah. And he said, you say it out loud, MashaAllah. Now what happens when you say MashaAllah? He heard me say MashaAllah. MashaAllah, look at his hair. Right? He heard that. And I know he heard that. And for a moment there, saying that out loud, so whether you make, say mashallah, you make dua for the person, and if you really have a particularly problematic relationship where someone has been the object of your envy and your jealousy for a very long time, a lot of negative energy, then go as far as doing favors for them, giving gifts to them, going out of your way to be nice to them. And it has nothing to do with them. It is you putting out that fire inside of your soul before it completely burns you down as a person. Does that make sense, everybody? Very good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be free of the disease of jealousy and envy. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us everything that we need to know. I'll conclude with this beautiful hadith of Sahih Bukhari. An ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا حسد إلا فتنتين. The Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, there's only two times when you should actually ever kind of have almost like a semi-envious feeling towards someone. And some scholars say it's even hypothetical, where he's saying, if, على سبيل الفرض, if you were even ever going to be envious of someone, it only would make sense in two situations. What are those two situations? He says, رَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا فَسَلَّطَهُ عَلَىٰ هَلَكَتِهِ فِي الْحَقِّ. A person whom God has given a lot of financial resources to, wealth, money, and that person spends it aggressively for the spreading of the religion of God. You know that person who writes, you know, a $100,000 check for the masjid. The person who says, I'll sponsor 100 orphans. Like, if you ever were going to even be envious of that. Somebody who does that much good. And number two, وَرَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ حِكْمَةً فَهُوَ يَقْضِي بِهَا وَيُعَلِّمُهَا. Or secondly, somebody who has been granted religious knowledge and wisdom, and they use it to help people, and they use it to educate people. When you see, when you listen to, you know, our teachers and scholars, you're listening to Ustada Fatima, you're listening to Sheikh Mikael, and you know, they're giving you wisdom and they're giving you knowledge and they're explaining things to you about God and His Messenger. They are answering your questions. If you ever were going to be envious, why wouldn't you be envious of someone like that? Who does so much good, who is a beacon of light in their community. So the Prophet ﷺ really creates, he really creates some perspective there for us that now, think about how silly it is that you spend so much time and energy, that I have spent so much time and energy actually being envious of people about something as silly as material things. Money, cars, houses, clothes, popularity. How silly. That if you, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, those are the things that you should actually look up to people for. Not material things, easy come, easy go, gone here today, gone tomorrow. So, with that, inshallah, we'll conclude. We do. Jawad's got one right here. Can't borrow your laptop. See, I found a laptop. You're welcome, Mustafa. Never mind. See? Anybody have a laptop I can borrow for a second that has an HDMI? Yeesh. Anybody have an ancient laptop I can borrow? There, Amin. Amin's my guy. Old, reliable Amin. Are you connected to some kind of internet here?
Yeah.
You are? Do you have Wi-Fi?
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm broken my phone, but it's working.
It's working? Okay. I ain't afraid of no ghost. Turn down the lights. Turn off the mic. Might need to kind of turn on the light. It's on. Okay, the visibility is not super great, but I'll tell you where you can find it. So, if you remember where I started, I told you that we were in Tulsa yesterday. Why? Right? Well, we went to Tulsa, Oklahoma because, mashallah, there is a really awesome Muslim community there. And one of our Qalam graduates that, you know, some of you unfortunately might know, Imam Muhammad Herbert. Everyone's like, Herbert? So, mashallah, he's the imam there of their community. So, you know, they invited us and called us out to basically generate some support. So, why am I talking about this here? And I'll explain that in just a second. Alhamdulillah, our overarching view is to make the religion of Islam accessible and accessible and palatable to people everywhere, making it available for everyone and accessible for everyone. So as a part of that, we have a lot of different initiatives under this broader umbrella. One of the initiatives started a decade ago is called the Qalam Seminary, where Usada Fatima graduated from, Usada Atifa graduated from, and many others that you might know, but those are two of the people that you hear from regularly here at Roots. So that's one of our initiatives where we educate the imams, the scholars, the teachers for our community. Number two, another initiative that we have there is that we have the Roots community, where we have a vision of what it's like to be welcomed and to belong to a community that opens its doors and its arms to everyone, makes room for everyone, and is able to provide benefit to everyone and anyone. And for a long time, you know, we had the small place on Beltline, and the Qalam Seminary was in Arlington, in a very humble space. Over the course of the pandemic, you know, we moved out of those locations, and Roots has been operating out of a couple of different spaces. The seminary has been online. And inshallah, now with the situation where it is, we're excited to go back to in person. So, but this time, instead of renting out a little office space, which alhamdulillah, we're happy to do, but at the same time, we had a little bit of a bigger vision. And so we, inshallah, are acquiring a permanent home. What you see here, that building, is basically going to be kind of what generally referred to as a new Qalam campus that will have a dedicated area within it, carved out, dedicated, permanently fixed for the Roots community. And it will also house the seminary. And it will also have a masjid. And it will also have a slew of other resources that, you know, Qalam does. We'll have an Islamic library there. And we'll be conducting seminars and intensives there. So alhamdulillah, this is something that we've envisioned for a long time. And this is coming to fruition. And I particularly wanted to mention it here to y'all. You know, Ustad Murphy, as y'all know, mashallah, he's in Turkey right now with the group. So inshallah, when he gets back next week, then you'll be hearing a lot more about it, and you'll be seeing a lot more online about it as well. But at the same time, I wanted to mention it here very specifically, that this, inshallah, what we hope will be the new Qalam campus, is going to have a dedicated area that will be the long term. I don't like the word permanent, because nothing in the dunya is permanent, but it will be the long term home for the Roots community space as well, inshallah. So that's why we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Because mashallah, the community invited us out there to share this vision with them. And they contributed and donated very generously. So you can read more about, you know, what we're doing And also, you know, see pictures of it and video of it and look at everything, inshallah. And on this website, alamcampus.com, this is the central kind of campaign that we have. I'm not going to do fundraising here because I did it like 8 times in the last 24 hours. But we do have to raise a substantial amount of money in a short duration of time. That's how these things work. We're a nonprofit organization. Roots is a nonprofit organization. Qalam is a nonprofit organization. And that's how things work. That's the reality of it. And so we do have to raise a substantial amount of money in a short period of time. So inshallah, go to the website, check it out, give whatever you can. More importantly, spread the word far and wide. Tell everyone and anyone. Spam all of your WhatsApp groups. Just like your uncle does when he gets a video from Pakistan. So text it to everybody, email it to everybody. Just spread the word far and wide, inshallah. And we're very optimistic, we're very hopeful, we're very inspired, we're very encouraged that we're going to be able to, inshallah, do this and realize this, and that we can, inshallah, by the will of Allah, make it happen. And very, very soon, before long, inshallah, we'll be inviting all of y'all to the new long-term home of Roots, inshallah. A dedicated place that we can all call home, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan, everyone. I've gone on for too long. We have to pray Salat al-Maghrib. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.